occasion, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you. According we read in the Word of God in the book of Exodus and also in Hebrew 11. And we emphasize Hebrew 11, verse 27. Hebrew 11, verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We write above the sermon, seeing him who is invisible. Maybe you say, that's impossible. When somebody is invisible, you cannot see him. What is impossible with man is possible with God. What is impossible by nature is possible by grace. And let it be our prayer now. For you must be in the church, sighing and praying to the Lord. Lord, that I may see thee, that I may see thee, thy glory, with my own eyes, the eyes of my soul. For nobody can see for another person. Seeing is so personally, it's so needed to see God. Blessed are the pure of heart. They shall see God. And then you see a person, soul full of glory, soul going above every understanding. Did you have a thought on this Lord's Day about heaven? Did you have on this Lord's Day any longing for heaven? To see God in all perfection, to be with him, to be totally filled with him into all eternity. What is this short life compared with eternity? We see people, we see our children, we see our beloved ones, we see our homes, we see our money. Not more. Did you see God? Did you see Christ? Did you ever had a foretaste of heavenly glory? Was your soul ever filled with the desire, O Lord, to look unto thee forever and ever? That's my only wish, my only pleasure, and by grace, my future. Seeing him who is invisible. Nothing is more beautiful. Sometimes we can see beautiful things in this world, and then you say, amazing, how beautiful. But when you receive one glimpse of the eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you see something you never can forget. That's far more beautiful than all the thousand worlds can show you. Seeing him who is invisible. And seeing is very simple. Dear children, that's possible for you. You have eyes. You can see. You can see nature. You can see your parents. But can you see God? Did you ever see God? That's the question. For we can see God only by faith. The theme is seeing him who is invisible. And then we consider Moses' way of faith. By faith, he forsook Egypt. In the second place, Moses' power of faith, not fearing the wrath of the king. And in the third place, his eye of faith, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible, seeing him who is invisible. Moses' way of faith, Moses' power of faith, and Moses' eye of faith. Let us first sing together Psalter 245, the verses 1 till 5. 245, the verses 1 till 5. Dear congregation, nobody has ever seen God. The only begotten Son, who was in the lap of the Father, he has revealed God to us. Therefore, the Lord Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." But did people see God when he was a little baby? When he was a boy of 12 years old walking in the streets of Nazareth? When he was preaching with power the glorious gospel? When he was hanging on the cross, dying for our sins? Did people see God? Did you see God in Christ? Nobody ever saw God. Only the only begotten Son of God has revealed him to us. Is it happened? Did it happen in your heart that you see in Christ God? The eternal God may be your refuge, your dwelling place. To see God, to live in God, to belong to God. That was the case in the life of Moses. For we read here that he lived by faith. And that's the big difference. There's only one difference in whole mankind. All other differences doesn't matter, disappear. There's only one main difference of soul among us. You live and see by faith. And by faith, you can see God. And you can see God in Christ. And your soul is hungry after God, the living God. For nobody can fulfill your poor soul, but God only, to be reconciled with him, to be close to him, to belong to him. Did it happen? Faith. True saving faith. That's the only thing you need. And without faith, we cannot please God. And we cannot see God. We can know a lot about God. And we can have our thoughts about God. And our thoughts and words can be influenced by our education in the world. But can a blind man ever see a man? No. A blind man can never see a man. Did you ever see that you are blind? That you don't know God? That you never saw God? That you are so far away from God? You need the light of the Holy Spirit to realize that you are blind. And when I am saying this, I must think at a professor in Holland theological man, 25 years or more, he taught the coming preachers. He was at university. He was sound in his doctrine, Reformed, Calvinistic. And at a time there came a student and knocked on his door. He had some questions. And he heard something. But nobody said, "Come in." So softly he opened the door, and there he saw his professor crying, weeping. And the student said, "Professor, what happened? Is there anything wrong?" And then he cried, "My boy, I don't know God. I never saw God." And that was the beginning of his true conversion. We need faith. We need God Himself for knowing and seeing God. We see that so clearly in the life of Moses. We have reason to believe that he knew the Lord from his early childhood. For when he was born, we read in Acts that he was extremely beautiful. But in the Greek is written, he was divine beautiful. There was something of the Lord in this newborn child. And his elders saw that. And therefore they had hidden him. By faith. And we see that in his growing up. For we read here, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years." My young people, you are come to years. "By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Is that also the choice of your heart and life? Choosing rather to suffer affliction, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So when he grew up and came to years, he saw God in Christ. Christ was revealed to his young soul. And the treasures in Christ were far more worthy than all what he had in Egypt. He had a palace, he had might, he had power, he had riches, he had honor, he had everything. And he could become the mightiest king of the world. But it's all foolishness. It's all done. Did you see that? That everything is done. What you have, besides the true knowledge of God in Christ, that's the unity of the whole church of all ages. Paul says the same, isn't it? Do you say the same too? Young people, older ones, what place has God in Christ now in your heart? Second one, then you are lost. Then you are on the way to hell. That you never saw God. He must have the first place. Choosing
rather to suffer affliction with the pleasures, with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures for sin of sin for a season. And then we read our text. By faith he forsook Egypt.
You know, Moses forsook and left Egypt also another time. Children, you know the story. You know the history. For he had killed a man. He was looking left and right. Oh, nobody is there. Nobody sees it. Oui, Moses, you don't see God. At this moment, God is out of your view. For when you were a bear, God is seeing me. Then you cannot go farther in sin. Then you stop. When you see God, you cannot lie. For God hears what you are saying. You cannot commit adultery, for the Lord is where you are. He sees everything. He is everywhere. Moses, in that time, was fading away. He wanted to release his people. He wanted to be the leader of his people. He made a choice by faith for his people. He left Egypt. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he had to learn something. Something. God's people has to learn a lot. Every day. For Moses would release his people too much in his own strength. And then we read that he fled away in fear. In fear. And then the Lord took him at his school, the school of humiliation, the school of self-denying, the school on which you learn, I am nothing, I can nothing, I can only do one thing, the wrong thing, always the wrong thing. I need God in Christ Jesus in every step, with every thought. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing is nothing. 40 years at school, God's school, a shepherd in the desert. And then the Lord called him, 80 years old, and high age. And then he was not able. And then he wished that God should send another one. He couldn't speak. He couldn't do anything. Moses, do you not see God? Yes, God was speaking to him. God is speaking to us. When you open his word, he is speaking to you. When you hear his word preached, he is speaking to you. But do you hear? Do you obey? Is it impressed in your soul? Does it change your life? Your thoughts? We must be ashamed. For we often have to say,
I hear, I read the word of God. God is speaking to me. And an hour later on, I am forgotten.
It happened so often in my pastoral life that I visited my people. And then I asked, did you enjoy the sermon of last Sunday? Oh, yes, Pastor, yes. What was it that you touched so much then? Oh, I have to think. Oh, I've forgotten. The word of God, forgotten. Dear flock, don't forget the word of this day, God's word. Forget me, but don't forget the word of God, which comes to you and came to you this morning. It was a sweet word for God's poor people, God's poor afflicted people. Oh, my dove, let that stay in your soul. And pray, O Lord, let that word be open to my heart every day, so that I may hear thy voice and live from what is coming from thy lips. Moses had to obey. He did. For that's a mark of the true grace, isn't it? He who loves me keeps my commandments. Sometimes there is a lot of resistance in the heart of God's people, but the Lord knows how to conquer that resistance. There then comes such a power in his word that he said, go. He went. But it was not a nice way. By faith, he went to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, you know, he was a very bad and hard, cruel, unfaithful man. And Pharaoh, you see a picture of your own heart. Did you ever see your own heart? How it is by nature? So hard, so corrupt, so totally unfit for salvation. Are you better than Pharaoh? Am I better? Is Moses better? No, friend. For we all come short the glory of God. Moses is not better. What do you see when the Holy Spirit is convincing you in a saving way? I am a great beast before God. I am the chief of all sinners. That you see by faith. The devils never shall show you that. But that's what the Lord shows us. It's only free sovereign grace. It's only his eternal love which make the difference. Faith you cannot make. You can get it. Do you have faith, my young people? Or must you say, I've not? For next Sunday, the Lord willing, here the table shall be ministered. And that's always very impressive congregation. Then there are people who are coming, and that's nice. That's a wonder. That's a blessing. And younger and older people come forward and confess that their only hope and their only rock is in Christ. That they are as a lost sinner in themselves. Nothing can do but
fleeing to the rock. But there are also people who stay back, sitting in their seat, not there, but they stay. Why? Do you reject Christ? Do you not love the Savior? Do you not take heed on such a great salvation? How long will you continue that? That's dangerous. That's eternal dangerous. That must be a true conversion. Moses comes to Pharaoh with the word of God. And by his wonderful providence, congregation, the Lord is coming tonight to us, each of us, by his wonderful word. It's his word, not my word. He who rejects you, reject me. And who he rejects me, reject me, him who has sent me. God's word must be believed, must be done. And by faith, Moses goes to Pharaoh. Let my people go. By faith he can. By faith he denies himself. And by faith he goes the way of obedience. By faith he goes to the most dangerous place and the most cruel king of the world. By faith you can come everywhere. By faith you can do everything. By faith you can live at every place. Joseph could live in Pharaoh, in Egypt. Daniel could live in Babel. By faith, you are the salt of the earth. When you have faith, for then is Christ in you, and you are in Christ, and you are living by faith. And no one can conquer you, for Christ is the weakest that seems to be. Hanging on the cross, he is the weakest, but he is the strongest. He takes away the sin of the world. He conquers Satan and all his might and power. Oh, the word of God is so strong, irresistible strong. By faith, you see that. By faith, you keep courage. By faith, you obey the command of the Lord. That's what Moses is here doing. He didn't like to go to Pharaoh. He knew what a kind of man that was. And he knew in what danger he came. For Pharaoh has might enough to kill him in 3 minutes or shorter. But by faith, what did he see? He sees an almighty God. He feels himself protected by the Lord himself. And the Lord is in Egypt. The Lord is at the court of Pharaoh. The Lord is everywhere. He was seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he saw the glory and the might and the love of his God protecting him. Him, also at the court of Pharaoh. Then you are safe, isn't it? Then you know yourself in the hands of the Almighty. Did you ever have that safeness? That rest. I once read a story. It happened truly. That during the World War II, Rotterdam, a big town in the Netherlands, has been bombed. And everywhere the houses were burned. And hundreds of people died. And thousands were wounded. It was more than terrible. And in one of the houses, there was a child of God, trusting in the Lord. My God shall protect me. My God shall keep me safe. In God we trust.
say the Americans. It must be true. And then it's so wonderful and so nice. In God we trust. The only refuge. Did you ever see that for yourself? For Moses is since long in heaven. But when he went by faith, his way of faith, to Pharaoh, he saw that clearly. What a greatness, what a safeness, what a love for him in God. And therefore he could go. And that's the way of faith with all God's people. We often have to go away, which is difficult, which is against our flesh. We often have to go to a place of darkness, of enmity. I don't know how society is here developing, but in our country, it's more than terrible. More than terrible. How the holy God is blasphemed. How his commands are broken. And when you are in a factory, when you are in a business, you are one of the few or the only one who prays for the meal. We enter a time of persecution. In our country, it's nearly forbidden. It's forbidden to mention sin. What is sin? When you warn against homomarriage, and we continue to do, then you are against the law. Against the law of man, the law of the devil. That you are according the law of God, to be faithful to the Lord, to keep to his word. That's a way of suffering for many people, God's people in this world. And are we ready? Ready to suffer for the Lord? By faith, we can. Moses went the way to Pharaoh. And he is driven away. Pharaoh says, go away. I don't want to talk with you anymore. I don't want to hear the word of God anymore. Go away. That's a terrible, dangerous time. In our time, we see that to our deep sorrow often happen. That people, often young people, go away. I don't want to listen any longer to the voice of God. I want to go my own way. I want to do my own stuff. Minister, never come back. You come to warn me? Yes, I want to save you. I want to warn you. I seek your salvation. Oh no! I know my own way of salvation. I have my own faith. I make my own choice. That's the spirit of this world. Spirit of Pharaoh. Go away. He was driven away. Away. You shall never see my face. It's enough. You make me unquiet. Yes, that's what he is doing. For, by faith, he warns very strongly. Very strongly. And he warns the judgments of God are coming. And the end judgment in every house of Egypt shall be a dead man. That's the message. The message of God's judgments. That's the message to congregation, for everybody who doesn't love the Lord Jesus, who doesn't follow the Lamb, the holy judgment of God. There is a day of judgment,
and it's coming near, near, near. And then there is an eternity, a lost eternity, full of the holy angel of God. But Pharaoh doesn't listen. And we? Do we listen? Do we take it serious? The judgment of God? The hell? Did you ever think about it? That I'm not hidden in Christ. That I'm not in the Savior. I will be lost forever. Oh Lord, be merciful upon me, a sinner. That's the way. To cry to the Lord. To plead to the Lord. That he may break your heart. That he open your eyes. He is willing and mighty to save you. For tonight he comes with his gospel. But also this is warning. That Pharaoh says, goes away, calls us by faith, is totally honest. He says everything. He knows he makes Pharaoh very, very angry. He knows that it can be very dangerous to say the full truth. But that's our calling. To say the full truth. That's the calling of every minister, of every elder, of every believer. I don't know how it is here, but in our country, I often see, also among the Reformed preachers, that they preach the gospel, but very, very few say about eternal damnation. They offer Christ in the gospel, that's nice, but a warning. Warn my people. You must be warned. Of course, you need a gospel, and the gospel, the full gospel, and the full love of Christ must be preached unto you, but you must be warned. Moses, he doesn't nothing keep behind him. He say the full truth by faith. How angry the man is becoming. That's self-denying. That's faith. That's the way of faith. Well, in the second place, we consider his power of faith. For we read something very special. In Exodus 11, verse 8, we read, and he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. He was very, very angry. In the Hebrew, it's a word like boiling, bruising. He was totally filled with anger. Then he went out from Pharaoh. What can that mean? Is that right? Moses? You need to be, you must yet be loving. You must be soft. You must not be angry. By faith. He went out. Faith is working by love, yes. But love has also an other side. Faith can make us wholly angry. Did you ever feel that self, that in your own heart? An holy anger, an holy hate against everything what's reproaching and blaspheming and disobeying the Lord. That's the other side of love. That's what you find in our Lord Jesus. When he cleansed the house of God, He was in a holy anger, in a holy hate against what people did with God's holy house. It's something of what shall happen within short time, when the Lord Jesus is coming on the clouds. Then he comes to judge. Then he is filled with a holy anger. And that will cause a fear in all the unconverted people. And they will pray, "Mountains fell upon us, hills cover us, for him who is sitting on the throne. His eyes shall be as fire, burning in the souls of every man, of every hater of God." And there is no escape. Moses is by faith in a holy angel. And he looks like his master. He has such a hate against the unbelief, the hardness, the hypocrisy of Pharaoh, and the hardness, 10 plagues. He is at the side of God. In true conversion, a man is brought on the side of God. Then you agree with the Lord. And then you have something in your soul that the Lord is right, also when he condemns you. Then you lose your own life and you find it in Christ only. And then there comes such a hate against everything what is not to God's honor, to God's glory. And you hate your own heart, your own lusts, your own hypocrisy, all your sins, you hate them. "Shall I not hate, O Lord, which thou hates?" Only by faith you can understand that. That holy angel, which is also in the heart of Christ. I once heard of a mother, and she had a son, a godly woman, and a son so worldly, so against God, so mocking. And at a time he blasphemed, he cursed in a terrible way. And so he went out on his motorcycle. And a quarter later on, she got a message. He's dead. He drove himself dead. And that mother could not weep at that time. For she saw how righteous God is in the punishment of the ungodly. If anybody loves his father, his mother, his son or daughter above me, he cannot be my disciple. Of course, he stayed a mother. And afterwards, she wept and had a lot of sorrow and pain in her heart about her lost son, lost forever. But she had a moment that she fully agreed with the holy judgment of the Lord. Moses, by faith, he didn't fear the wrath of the king. Was he a hero? No, he was not. For he endured as seeing him
who is invisible, he endured, he took hold. He was a weak child. He had nothing in himself. He was a trembling child. In his inward life, I was only keeping to the Lord. By faith, you have nothing. You can nothing. You dare nothing. You are not a hero. But you are a poor, weak sinner. Totally dependent on the power of God. Totally unworthy the love of God. And yet cleaving to the Lord. Endured, endured. Was crying in his heart, O Lord, help me. O Lord, make me faithful. O Lord, let me look unto thee. Do you know that? When you come in difficult circumstances, you don't know what to do, what to say. I once had in my life a very special experience. I was called with a man, and he was totally possessed of the devil. I didn't know what to do. It was in my first congregation. I was a young pastor with little experience. And I was sitting on a chair, and the man was crying, terrible, terrible. And I was sighing, praying, O Lord, I don't know what to do. Help me, O Lord. And then in a moment of silence, I said, we shall pray. Immediately I started to pray. And in my prayer, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit. And I became aware that the Lord heard my prayer and gave the victory. And I opened my eyes and said, Amen. And I saw the man sitting, very quiet, very normal. The devil had lost. I have not conquered. But God performed his strength in my weakness. And that's by faith. You are not a hero. You are not strong. You cannot say, I will warn that man. I will say the truth. I. No, I've nothing. I'm so weak, Lord. I'm not better, Lord. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me, O Lord, to thy glory. By faith, you are weak. And it is God's strength in you, of that no man shall glorify, and all honor shall be only for the Lord. That's the strength of faith. That's the strength of Christ, performed in our weakness. Let us first sing together Psalter 278, the verses 1 till 5. 278, the verses 1 till 5. By faith, we see him who is invisible. And that's for each of us the main thing in our life. For when we look to Moses, we know something about his experience when he saw the Lord. Read when you come at home Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses. And then we clearly see, and we must see the same, by the same faith, by the same Spirit. For the people of God, of all ages and places, is one in the knowledge of the triune God. And their hunger and thirst after God and his righteousness. Moses saw the Lord. And what did he say when he saw him? Who knowest the power of thine anger? He saw God in his holy anger, in his holy, eternal, perfect hate against sin. And that's what the devil never shows us. But when God, the Holy Spirit, is coming and working and living in our heart, he shows us the holy hate and anger of God against our sin. And we cannot stand. And our soul is crying, "Oh God, oh God." Sometimes we have no words, only sighs, only cries. Who will stand before thee? We are consumed by thine anger. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee. And then it are not the iniquities of Pharaoh. That's not of another man. But Moses himself stand before the holy God and realized and was aware that the Lord knew him till on the bottom. His righteousness, his holy anger, his holiness. God is the holy God. Sometimes you hear people and ministers too speaking about God as if he is their neighbor. They never saw God. See the prayers of God's dear children in God's word. Read tonight as a homework the prayer of Daniel. What a holy reference. What a deep humiliation when he saw God, when he came in the nearness of God. But Moses saw also, and we need to see it too, the endless love and mercy of God. For we read also here, and that's connected with it, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Such a holy thirst in his heart for the blood of sprinkling, for the blood of the Lamb of God, for the righteousnesses fulfilled in Christ. And therefore, he could speak about the beauty of God. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. By faith he saw him who is invisible. By faith he was guided to Christ only. And in him we see God's holiness, God's righteousness, and God's love and mercy, all together in that only blessed Savior, looking unto Jesus, God's righteousness. God did not spare his own Son, but gave him. What a gift. When that gift comes in your heart, that unspeakable gift, and then God's righteousness and love meet one another in your soul, God satisfied in Christ, God reconciled in Christ, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, fills our soul. We see God in his eternal love, and the desire is growing and growing and growing to glorify him in all perfection. Bless the Lord, my soul, and all what is within me, that all what is in me may praise him and glorify him. And the desire is growing to be there where Moses is now, and where so many saints are in his nearness, in perfection. And the desire is growing that the day is coming that the graves are opened and God's people come forth glorified in body and soul and are taken in the throne of Christ. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world perfectly at God's side in the throne of Christ? Where shall you be, my friend? Before the throne, if you continue to reject the Savior, or shall you be in the throne? And then I see a new earth and a new heaven. And then I see the new Jerusalem coming down as a bride for her bridegroom, my beloved one. Oh, my dove, we shall see God and never shall have enough. We need eternity to see God, to glorify God, and to be with the Lord. How happy is that people which live by faith. Amen. Let us pray now. O gracious and merciful God, our words are too poor. Thy love is so great. Thou art so worthy to be glorified forever and ever. And the number is growing, always growing, till the number is full, and thy church is full, and thy church is full of thee, in eternal perfection, to glorify thee forever and ever, to come to the goal of our life. O Lord, bless thy holy word of this day and this night, and give that each of us may see thee in thy holiness, in thy righteousness, in thy eternal mercy revealed in Christ, and that we never can find rest for our soul till we know Christ is in me, I am in him, my life is hidden in God. With him, prepare us all, O Lord, for the great eternity. Bless the congregation, also when there is now a vacancy. Give them a man, called by thee, taught by thee, to preach the glorious gospel in all fullness. Continue thy work, O Lord, also here. Be with us when we hope to go away, to go back to our own country.
Make us a blessing also there. Pardon all our sins and be with us in this way of looking forward to thy holy supper. And draw thy people and do wonders in the hearts of young and old, so that many, that everybody may come, and no one can stay back and deny thy great love. Lord, work mightily. We are not worthy, but thou art worthy. Thou hast merited it all, and we plead only on thy perfect merits, O blessed Savior. Lord, make our hearts full of longing to thy coming. For what is this short time? We sang it this night. Moses saw it when he was so close to thee, that human life is nearly nothing. It's only a sigh. We go to eternity, eternal joy, eternal glory, to be with thee when Christ is our life and our dying is gain. We thank thee, O Lord, for all thy goodness. Hear us only for grace. Amen.